Blog Talk Radio.
Back in the abode of death. Few people really know the nature of death rows. It is used as a political prop by politicians and is thus a stepping stone to their gateway of power. But death row is really far more than that. It is a place where men and women, and until recently, even juveniles, were sent to live and die in aching loneliness and despair. That's because death row was specifically designed to isolate people physically and psychologically. On death row, American law reconstructed a caste of the untouchables, where no one was allowed to touch you. Not a child, not a parent, not even one's very spouse. But that's not all. You were even isolated from other people on death row. You were in solitary confinement, locked in a cell, alone, for 23 hours a day, until you were executed or left death row. Many, perhaps most men, spent decades under such conditions. Why? Because the state, such extreme conditions, sought to make people into a kind of living dead, so broken that actual death would be but a relief. That fever seems to be breaking, at least in Pennsylvania. Here, today, is a much smaller death row, where the number has fallen to around 100, and men spend over 8 hours a day out of their cells. They have contact visits. Now, the state will no longer sign death warrants and is seeking the abolition of the death penalty. The tide seems to have turned. And death row is no longer the death row of cruel memory. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
And greetings. My hopes up to everyone. Welcome to the special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. And if you do not know, the voice that you just heard was what we often refer to as the voice for the voiceless, none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal. Today marks his Earth Day, his coming on this planet some 69 years ago. And born here in Philadelphia, we feel that there is indeed a responsibility to make certain that we continue to have his voice heard, but also now our voices for him. For those that do not know, a few weeks back, to be specific, March the 30th, I believe it was, or the 31st, the decision was provided that indicated that Mumia's appeal for a new trial, to be released, etc., was denied by Judge Clemens here in Philadelphia, Court of Common Pleas. And while many kind of knew or felt that that is what was going to happen, meaning that Judge Clemens was going to rule against Mumia, it was still a flicker of hope, given the fact that all the Move 9 members had, in fact, been released, even though a few of them did not live very long, but still had been released. And the charges against them was the same as the charges against Mumia. So there was a little sliver of hope in that maybe, just maybe, he would be released. Well, that didn't happen. And not only did that not happen, but as we have now learned, there's some other things that have also been kind of brought to our attention. And so we're going to examine that tonight just briefly, but on Saturday, I strongly advise you all to tune in to our regular weekly broadcast. On Saturday, we will have one of our premier jailhouse lawyers, as some call him and call others, Brother Raza Khan Shaheed, will be with us on Saturday. And this brother has done a tremendous amount of work for his own case when he was incarcerated, but also for others, both while being incarcerated and, of course, since he's been home. And with that said, he's looked very closely at the case, at the matter as it pertains to Mumia Abu-Jamal. And on Saturday, he is going to provide some very clear, some very concise, and some very concerning information about what has gone on with Mumia's case, particularly in the past 3 to 5 years. And perhaps more importantly, to some degree, in more recent time. So we're going to really examine that closely, but we're going to hear from Brother Raza Khan Shaheed on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to hear some things that many have not heard. Many are not aware about some things that are, in fact, going on, that folks need to be aware of and also need to help shift some of that paradigm that's been in effect for some while. Again, I'm not going to go into a lot of details right now, but I will say this, that it's really, really important at this particular time period that people kind of step up and really begin to do some of the things that is needed to be done in our communities. And when I say our communities, I'm talking about folks of African descent. There has to now be a greater presence, more involvement of our people when it comes to the matter, the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And so tonight is an appeal. It is actually a request and in some instances even a demand. For those who are of goodwill, good consciousness, and so forth, to now take some real action. And what we're saying is, even if you just say 1 hour, 1 hour, but consistent with that hour, to do something now in support of freeing Mumia Abu-Jamal and all of our political prisoners, but certainly tonight we're talking about Mumia Abu-Jamal. And so very shortly, we are going to talk with a sister who is a part of the Mumia Health Committee, and that is Sister Gwen DeBrow. And we're going to also talk with Brother Lee Robinson, who is one of the communicators that has an independent radio and TV broadcast. And so what we began to do is to ask brothers and sisters that have media connections, media, particularly their own media information communications apparatuses, we are asking them to now get involved. There needs to be a black presence that is consistent, not just come to the rallies, not just, you know, when there's a crisis, you know, come together. No. Mumia has served 41 years in incarceration. And as you heard when we opened up, he talked about the death row that he was on for more than 30 years. But he did, of course, mention that some things are changing. Well, those things didn't change out of the clear blue sky. They changed because people have been fighting for what is known as prison reform. And so what Mumia said in our opening tonight from his latest commentary, he specifically said that things are changing. It used to be where folks who were on death row, they were in their cell 23 hours a day. They had 1 hour out. They had no contact with anyone directly, no one. And he said that that is now changing, that death row inmates now have 8 hours, up to 8 hours, to be from out of their cell, and they can have visitation. Well, that's different from when he was initially in. So things are changing. I mean, it's still a long, long way to go because the whole thing needs to be abolished, but there are some things changing. And again, this is because the people have continued to fight. But now, coming back to Mumia, what are black folks doing in our communities? Going back to Nelson Mandela, the people there fought diligently, his people, as well as others, but his people fought for him. To say Mother Winnie Mandela, that's a whole other conversation. But, and then that movement grew and went worldwide, which is what Mama Pam has really been the key apparatus in doing. But now, folks have got to step up in our communities nationwide. Now, we know that folks in New York, they always coming through. As a matter of fact, we're going to get a report on the event that took place here in Philadelphia yesterday. And even though I was not able to attend because I was out of town, however, that's why, you know, if we're not there directly, personally, you best believe we're going to be doing something in some kind of way, shape, fashion, or form that is going to be linked and will make sure that, you know, other things is moving on some other levels. But the point is, I didn't see what happened yesterday, but the reports that I've gotten is that, again, silly black folks were MIA, as it has been for a while. And that needs to be brought to a greater attention because Mumia can no longer just be something that is talked about or said at an event. That needs, this needs to be now something that is addressed and dealt with on a regular basis. And so we're now setting up some of the mechanisms to make sure that that happens. So with that said, family, we hope that those who are listening will now, again, make a commitment. If you haven't already, make a commitment. And what are we asking? 1 hour. Be it a week, be it a month, be it every other week, but 1 hour to do something that is relevant to freeing Mumia Abu-Jamal. You can do it with us, the We Charge Genocide 21 Project, or you can do it with Love Not Fear or Mumia, Bring Mumia Home. There's different committees. You have Sister Julia Wright, who is doing stuff that is also relevant to the United Nations, although she's also with the Health Committee for Mumia. There's different groups. We hope that you will work with us because we are pro-black, period, for a reason. And it's not to say that we don't connect to the other groups or that we don't connect to other people, but what it does mean is there has to be a representation of from whence Mumia comes. He is a native son of the black community of Philadelphia. He was with this community in this city before December 9th, 1981. And so that community, as with any group of people who care about somebody in their community, that group of people has now got to show some indication of not only appreciation, but that they will fight for someone who is of them. So with that said, family, again, we are asking, requesting that, you know, you, anyone that you know, join in, sign up in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Get involved. We have to now do this. It cannot just be left on a few folks in New York or in Newark, New Jersey, or here in Philly. And there are people all, you know, California strong, no doubt about it. But I'm saying from the black perspective, there now has to be a balance and there has to be representation. So what you're going to hear tonight, Sister Gwen is going to give us a report, because we're going to always connect to some of the main machinery that we know has been in place. I will always be connected to Mama Pam, so you can always believe that. But again, we cannot keep allowing burden or weight to just fall on her or a few others. And certainly there has to be a black perspective. There is an experience. There is a culture that we are a part of. Where is that being represented at? And so that's what we're going to also talk about tonight, in that we're going to make certain that we begin to get Mumia's name in Kenya, Ghana, South Africa, Zania, wherever, throughout the African diaspora, because there's things growing and developing there too. And even though everybody's struggling against, you know, exploitation, neocolonialism, there are still various entities that are also fighting for justice for us. So we have to now connect with those elements, with those particular groups over the diaspora, Venezuela, Colombia. We've got to reconnect with some of them when it comes to Mumia Abu-Jamal. 41 years, we can no longer just sit back and allow this. And I'm not saying that people just sit back, but I'm saying we've got to do more. That's the bottom line. We've got to do more. Again, the call is going out to professionals, folks in law enforcement, lawyers, students, paralegals, instructors, educators, advisors, counselors that are in the legal jurisprudence arena. We need support. We need help to do research, writing, all kinds of things. We have access to publications. We have access to internet radio. We have access to regular radio. So we need to make certain that we have people who can call in, who can write, submit articles that we want to see published, information that we want to see matriculated. I was just in Baltimore yesterday and met with one of our editor or one of our publishers, Brother David Murphy, who is the founder and the key editor for the National Black Unity News. I have copies of the latest edition and some of the previous editions. We now have access to that national, international newspaper that is not only hard copy, but also online. So now we can be responsible enough to get information circulated in that newspaper. And in MWM, the We Charge Genocide 21 Project is also developing our newspaper, radio, and other communications apparatuses that we call the Black Worldwind News Network. And that's going to be featured in the next national Black Unity newspaper. The other thing that we're writing Mumia about, we had prepared it, but we were hoping, again, you know, we thought what we saw was going to happen, but we hope. But we're now going to revisit doing a correspondence course with Mumia, if his time will allow, because he's also studying right now and working on another book. But the point is, we want to develop a correspondence course with him so that we have direct connection with him based on the information and the work that he wants done, with the boots on the ground kind of approach. But also for those who are interested in learning journalism. That's what the communications or the correspondence course is going to be about. That Mumia instructs us, those who are interested, on becoming more astute, more capable of writing, of reporting, of investigating. This is what he was doing and still does, by the way. So, again, we now need to be his voice, eyes, his ears, his legs, his arms. That's what we know how to do, and we must now pick up that mantle and do it. So, again, we're asking folks 1 hour of your time, 1 hour per week, every other week, a month. Going to give you more information about that shortly on how you can sign up. And also, if you're interested in, we are sending a birthday greeting card to Mumia at the end of the week. Today is his birthday, but we're going to send it at the end of the week, probably Sunday. And those who want their names to go on the card, you can text us or email us your name, and we will place it on the card that will go to Mumia, wishing him continued strength and letting him know that we love him. In fact, that's what that card says. We love you, Moon. Because in the hood here in Philly, that's what he was called. He was called Moon. Anyway, we're going to go to our live line, and we are going to get our report from Sister Gwen, who is always, whenever we call her, she always comes through. We really, really appreciate that. We got to get this information circulated. We're going to hear from Brother Lee Robinson shortly, because what I began to ask folks in the communications areas are to make a commitment to make certain that at least once a month they are providing a report on their programs about Mumia. And we will be responsible enough to send them either updated reports from the various committees and or the commentaries from Mumia and so forth. But once a month, we're asking any Black/African diasporic entity to do something in regards to Mumia on their radio programs or their newspapers, newsletters, or what have you. So we'll give you more information about that as we proceed as well. But right now, I see that Sister Gwen is in queue, and so we are going to go to her to get our report on what happened this weekend's activities in regards to recognizing Mumia's Earth Day, which took place yesterday here in Philly, and also any other information that the Mumia Health Committee wants to share with us, because that's now – we're on a mission, y'all. We're on a real mission. I mean, we've always been on one, but this now, we got to up this ante. We got to get this brother out, period. And we've got to do the work now, or shall we say we have to increase the work now to make sure that that happens. So let's go to our live line, and let's talk to Sister Gwen. She's in the house and ready to talk to us. Hey, Sister Gwen, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful, with all things considered.
good.
So
that's
you.
Good.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for always taking the time to share and make sure that we get, you know, whatever updates and information that we need to have, particularly here, these folks here in Philly, because they're like walking zombies or something.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mentioned that, because when we got to Philadelphia on Sunday, because it was kind of a weekend of events. There was an event here in
I'm getting some static from you. I don't know if you're moving.
Can you hear me
or,
better now? Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, uh-huh. So we had an event organized by a woman named Trudy, I forget her last name, but she organized an event on behalf of Mumia, because I think they share the same birthday. Her birthday is today as well, and I believe she's turning 70, and she's been in this movement to fight for his life for more years than I have been.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second year that she threw a birthday celebration in his honor, and it was held at her cafe in Lower Manhattan with some light entertainment, and that was nice, a very lovely event, small, but, you know, but impactful. It was from 1 to 4, and then the next day, the event in Philly, and we bought a bus, a half full bus from New York City, of longtime Mumia supporters. And when we got, as we got off the bus, we ran into this young woman who was saying, oh, well, why don't they just release this man? I mean, if it was that simple, he would have been already released. And I'm like, I didn't want to tell her, but the way I see it is that, well, you got to help us do that.
Right.
It's not, you know, no magic to this, obviously.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
But she was, you know, clearly knew about Mumia and was hoping for the best for him. And that's what she said. She said, well, why don't they, you know, I know about Mumia. I saw she was there. She saw the rally because there was a protest earlier that day before we got there at 11.
Mm-hmm.
We got there around 1 o'clock, but the march and rally started at 11, and that was at from 52nd and Market, and they gathered. The actual rally was at this community art center. And that was really
right.
A lovely place. And they have a mural. They have this beautiful mural of Mumia holding his son and on the wall at the art installation, the One Art Community Center, so anybody can go over there. Definitely go take a look. It's beautiful. It really it's really heartening to see how, you know, Mumia is loved there. He, you know, he really does have a lot of support, but, you know, support and being there for him is one, you know, they're two different things. Yeah, it's good, you know, that you know about him, but are you there when important events like this is happening? This is his birthday weekend. Today is his birthday. He's turned 69. And he's given a lot. He's given a lot to his people, which is why he's where he's at. That's that's the unfortunate thing that, like so many other Panthers, are still there. H-Rat Brown, now I think it's his season, his 20th year. And the same situation of killing a cop, which there's evidence to prove that he didn't do that. And I believe his case is in the conviction review unit, I believe. I'm not sure. You'd have to get his son or his wife to come in and talk about that. But and then there's Rochelle McGee still there.
Yeah.
And then there's Leonard Peltier, who's 78 years old and has numerous health. And his clemency papers are right there in Biden's office. And this guy won't. You know, won't send him home after he's done more than 40 years in prison. They don't intend for these people, for our freedom fighters, really to come home until they're, you know, on their last leg, like Maroon was. I mean, thank God he was set free, and he could be with his family, you know, for the month that he lived, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough. We have to, as black people, we have to do better.
Absolutely.
Including me. We have to do better. I mean, I don't know of any other people who have, you know, I'm speaking about the Black Panthers that are still in prison, basically for fighting for our human rights. That's what they're there for, people. They're fighting for our human rights. And if we want other people to do those same thing. We want organizers, community organizers. We have to stand strong and come out and demand their release. The only at this point, it's up to the movement to show that we support them.
Right.
Their dignity and their right to fight for our human rights, and we, you know, that's the Constitution now. So. If there is such a thing as law and order and equal rights and stuff like all of those lovely words and democracy and a right to self-determination, we have to make that real. And we can't be afraid to take our rightful place in this society as Mumia has. He's risked everything for us, from what I can tell. And you know, I'm gonna be there, and we're gonna see him come out but it's going to take, you know, it's going to take work and and hard work. But when there's many of us doing it, it's not that hard.
That's
if it's
right.
not, you know, we can't, it can't be all on one person, you know, pay it like you heard you talking before, and Pam is of a certain age where she can't do but so much.
Right.
So it's up to us who are younger and stronger and those professionals.
That's right.
You know, we need journalists. It can't be only Lynn Washington
right.
talking about Mumia. I mean, because I know there are many more journalists out there that know about Mumia's case, and they could do more. I mean, even if it's just talking about him on their news outlets, that would do a whole lot to bring his story and his situation. Counting on people being afraid and staying in their corner and not, you know, talking about Mumia. Why not talk about him? I mean, he's done 41 years in prison for a crime the state very, very well knows that he did not do. They know it. They know it. The Lucretia Clemens, she knows it. Because
right.
she saw the evidence. She sees that the man was framed, but yet she's worried about her benefactors. She's worried about her little position instead of doing what the law requires, which means to set this man, at least she could have ordered a hearing on the evidence. We weren't asking for him, you know, we say free Mumia, but obviously there's a process to it. He's not going to be just released. That's not going
right.
to happen. But what should have happened, at the very least, was a hearing on the evidence that his lawyers have just now discovered, which is the bribing of critical witnesses that testified against him, a prostitute and a cab driver who lost his license, was driving without a license. Come on. She could have at least ordered that, but she didn't even have the stomach for that. So, okay, you stay in your corner, and we'll stay in ours, and we're not giving up. We're going to fight to the very end. As long as Mumia has fighting him, we're going to stay. We're going to stay on course. And his lawyers are not going to give up either. They're thinking and strategizing what their next move is going to be. So as they're doing that, we need to figure that out too. We need to figure that out too. We can't let Mumia down and the other political prisoners down. We have our freedom. We're out here. So take advantage of it. You know, there's nothing, you know, more important than fighting for those who have fought for us. Now, I don't believe it, you know, so that's my thinking. And we can do it. As black people, believe me, they know that our oppressors know when we come together, you know, stuff can happen and turn things around. Absolutely. Which is why I became involved in this struggle.
Right.
Because I knew, first of all, this man was innocent. Read up on the case and saw, oh, wow, this doesn't make sense. An award-winning journalist suddenly kills a cop? No, that doesn't make any sense. So I read On a Move by Terry Bison, and I read Live from Death Row, and I did the work. I looked into the case and saw that this man was framed. And if it can happen to somebody like Mumia, an award-winning journalist, it can happen to you or me. The cops do it all the time. They plant evidence on people who driving their car, drugs, just so they can get higher positions. It happens, people. Every week you hear about somebody that was been in prison 20 or more years for something that they didn't do. And it takes them it's not supposed to take 22 years, but it does, because the legal system doesn't work in favor of poor people who, if you don't have a good lawyer from the start, you're going to prison.
Yeah.
You're going to prison. And that's exactly what happened. Unfortunately, Mumia wasn't able to pay for a decent lawyer. He had somebody, Anthony Jackson, who was woefully inexperienced and knew it. He said he asked to be released from the case. Get some more.
Told him no. I know. I saw it. With what you're saying, Sister Gwen, it also brings me to another area. And so, as you said, the lawyers are, trying to develop new strategies. So
yes.
I don't know if you heard you didn't because you weren't on yet, but earlier I started off with Mumia's latest commentary, which talked about death row. And then after that, I talked about how on Saturday, Brother Raza Khan Shaheed is going to be joining us, and he's going to convey to us some very interesting information. And he's going to do it with the documentation of his findings. And what that's going to be related to is some of the work that the lawyers have done or have not done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to really talk about that on Saturday. And I think this is important because, without going into a whole lot of detail or other areas of that, it's important now that black folks, and this is what I said earlier, Sister Gwen, black folks have to now create a real presence because people need to know that there is going to be accountability. So even though, as we now know, the lawyers are pro bono,
mm-hmm.
there still has to be a level of accountability. So one of the things that we're doing, and as you just indicated, people now got to get involved. So we're literally putting the call out. See, it's one thing to say to people, we need your help or we want you. It's another thing to say, here's what you can do. Here's how you can do it and so forth. At least that's what I'm finding. Folks, just to sit back and say, we need your help, y'all. They listen to that and go, okay. And that's that. So now,
yeah, you're right.
What? Believe me, I had it a million times. Believe me, and even with some folks who said they was going to do stuff, they ain't do it. But now we have a plan of action that we are going to implement. I've spoken with a few people who I know will do some work, and they
mm-hmm.
have agreed to do some things. So my point is, we're now reaching out specifically to entities of African descent who are in law enforcement or who are, lawyers, paralegal, whatever, to begin to do some of the research, some of the writing, some of the critiquing and so forth so that we can get other opinions and thoughts and, whatever. We've got to now do that. We have access to a newspaper now. And so we literally can have information placed in certain areas and certain regions. I just came yesterday from what was called the global, the black, what was that thing called? Let me get it right now. It was by the Institute of the Black World. They sponsored it, but it was called the state of the global black world or something like that. So I went to the session yesterday. They had, even though I'm really not inclined with that kind of philosophy and approach, the people that was there were off the hook. They
mm-hmm.
had people there. I mean, and you know who I saw and had the opportunity to, give a hug to? France Fanon's daughter, Muriel.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
She was there
mm.
from France,
mm.
right? They had some top-notch folk there in terms of the work stuff, right? So for networking, it was really, really good. But my point is there was nothing there about political prisoners, absolutely nothing. And we're talking about people who are inclined to, you know, to they was there for reparations and other kind of things. But there was nothing there about political prisoner except for what we had. There was nothing else there.
This is Ron Daniels. This is Ron Daniels. Okay. Yeah, well, he's not, he's not really in that vein.
But that's okay. See, my point is, that's why I will always appreciate Mama Pam, because she would often go places where you knew that they weren't about that. But by the time she got finished, they were saying something.
Yes.
I could see her when NAACP meetings was being held here in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Or other groups that you know wasn't going to say something or whatever. But so my point is, we know that certain people aren't going to say or do something. That shouldn't stop us from at least approaching it, taking information or whatever. And that's what we're talking about now. For example, we know that Odunde is coming from Philadelphia. Odunde brings a good 40,000 people. In New York, you have the African Street Festival, the International Arts Festival.
That's right.
A three-day event. That's even 3 days.
Yes.
So I'm saying we have got to look at what it is we can do in our communities. That thing has 100,000 people in and out of there over the course of 3 days.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, but you see, I'm not expecting other people to do that. If you get my gist, I'm not expecting.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, we need to be more focused on those kinds of activities and things, right? And Cobra just had their Cobra does have their annual thing coming up in June. The Republic of New Africa. They just had their event. Now, they did do sessions on political prisoners.
That's good. Okay.
But I'm saying, we've got to create where it's not just a discussion, but here's some plans of action.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah,
right.
And it's right, you know, we have the ability to make some substantial movements in the political arena, but we have to get the so-called talented tenth see that Mumia, you know, is just as important as the issues that they're raising, and we can chew gum and walk at the same time. No one is saying that reparations should be, you know, shouldn't be worked on. But, you know, we can't just leave Mumia, Rochelle McGee, Leonard Peltier, you know, these people who are sacrificed their very lives, you know, for the struggle, for the liberation of our people. That's just basic. We can't leave them, you know, we can't just leave them there in the prison to die. You know, martyrs. I mean, that's not how we, how we should do business. How are young people going to look at us? You know,
well, again,
and have any respect for us if we don't go reach back and do what we can do collectively.
Right.
You know, that's why, you know, the conservatives go hard, you know, at us, because they know our power. You know, they know it. They very well know it. And that's why, unfortunately, they get, you know, our young men get gunned down, because they know the struggle. They know, you know, they know how powerful we are. But yet, we don't know it. The young lady that I, you know, ran into getting off the bus, yeah, it's fine to know about them, but how come you didn't participate in the rally, in the march?
Here's the thing about that. Here's the thing about that, Sister Gwen. Let me tell you when I found out about it. I knew that there was going to be an event at the One Art Center. I got a flyer about that. a few days before it happened. But I didn't know anything about the march at from 52nd Street to 1 Art. I didn't get any information about that until the night before.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's us. We have to do a better job of getting out the information. Yeah. But see, you know, there's only, like I said, a few people, you know, I guess in Philly doing the work. You know, Pam's kind of side taking care, you know, her health.
But
she's not, she's taking a little break.
And we're not even expecting her. What I'm saying is, since we know that there's this void, and that's why we're now doing greater organizing here in Philly. See, I know that I'm already persona non grata because I don't kiss none of these folks behind, and I don't play their little stupid games. So there's always, you know, some opposition to me. However, I've reached out to a few other people who don't have as much of those problems. For example, Brother Shamari. Brother Shamari has a radio program on WRD. WRD is not only heard internet and on Facebook and on Zoom, it's literally on the radio. So the elders who are not online, they're able to turn their radio on and hear Brother Shamari every day, I mean every Friday. So here's my point. That information, well, I called him and I asked him, because I know I didn't get it, that the New York and the Newark folks, I didn't know none of y'all was coming until Saturday night. Because see, the way I'm taught about black folks, if you have a group of black folks coming into your city, if you can be there, you should be there to if not greet them, at least be with them or have somebody. That's the way we always organize. Somebody from our crew is going to be there. We've always organized like that, as quiet as it's kept. That's how we were trained and taught, right? So I'm telling you, anytime that you and some other folks came from Newark that we knew and New York, there was somebody there from one of our cadres. See, because that's how we work. But I'm telling you that I didn't get any information that y'all was coming on Sunday until Saturday night. And so I started calling folk that I know that are in the hood that are operable, and I asked them, did you get this information? And the brother said, nope. And this is, again, somebody who you know, flows in these other circles, flows in circles that I don't and can't. But he does. And my point is, he has a radio program that comes on every Friday on Word.
Well, I think Gabe said he did reach out to, I don't know. I know he said he was going to. I don't know if he had time to do it.
Let me go on record to tell you. Yes, he did reach out to him. However, there was no follow-up. Talk to Brother Shamari today.
There was no follow-up.
So I'm just letting folks know some stuff that's real here. We can't do this. We're talking about Mumia's life. And I let folks know, you ain't got to like me. I don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a man that you do have access to, and you can get stuff on his program. So I don't want to hear it. I mean, I'm not saying this to you, but I'm just saying to anybody, I don't want to hear it. This is not going to go unsaid any longer. No more. We done sat back long enough and watched some stuff in this city happen. And you heard me talk about this before, Sister Gwen. I just didn't really elaborate because, you know, I mean, it's a sensitive situation. But 41 freaking years, this is no longer sensitive.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. We just have to come together and you know, everybody can play a part, but we really do need the professionals. We need publicity, and we need those, you know, who have access to associations like the Black Journalists Association. Come on.
Well, they ain't gonna do nothing, and not in Philly.
Well,
because that's yeah. They
we
see,
say that, but you know, there's got to be somebody who's willing, other than Lynn Washington, to bring it. And I mean, at this point, he's one of them. My God, how do you just leave one of your brothers, you know, fighting, you know, this system, and you can't, you know, you can't have a statement from your organization saying, you know, whatever, we, you know, we support Mumia Abu-Jamal and his right to be free, because we don't believe that he's, you know, I mean, it's nothing on their backs, but I guess, you know, I guess they're worried about sponsorship and stuff like that. But at this point, come on.
Yeah, no, there are people here who will do things if they get the information.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I'll just give you an example. They will do it if they get the information. And so what we now have to do is make sure that they get the information. Yep. That,
okay.
That's what's going on now.
Okay.
So, okay. So with that said, again, you and I are linked. I can tell you now that Brother Lee, I'm going to give you his number. He does a TV program. He's based in Virginia, Richmond. And there's some black folks in Richmond. So my point is, I'm going to give you his information because I talked to him earlier, and he said he would like to get you on for the program Wednesday to talk a bit about Mumia and of course, you know, the recent rally. And they're going to be focusing on political prisoners. I think he has somebody also on from the Jericho Movement that'll be coming on.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What time Wednesday? Because Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's 7:30
right.
to 9.
About that.
So that's
okay.
The conflict. If there's another, you know.
Yeah.
Unless he wants me on earlier, like 6, I can do 6.
No, it's
but it'd be better if
it's
another day.
No, it's a television. See, that kind of stuff you can't change. That's a scheduled television program. And what they do, they have people that can call in, but it's actually live on TV. Yeah, so what I can do, I can also check with Brother Razakhan if you're not available. But I'll check the time on it just to be sure, because I think it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's not going to, unless, I mean, I guess it could work, because it's not an hour, is it?
Oh, no, you would only be maybe like 5-10 minutes. Because it's a, yeah. You didn't have the whole show. No, it's just a, you know, 5-10 minute segment.
Oh, well, see, that I can do. If it's at 7, you know, yeah, and if it's only talking no more than 15 minutes, and that I could do. That's not a problem.
Okay.
So,
go ahead and
give him my number, and, you know, we can set something up.
Okay, great. See, and this is what we're talking about. Just, you know, there's things that we can do. So
yes,
I'm going to be conveying some and it's not, you know, it's not hard. I mean, it's just not hard. It's just a question of contacting people, having them to do whatever part of it they can do, and they will if they're contacted.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
the point I make. If they are, you know, get that information. There's a sister right there in New York. I'm going to be reaching out to Sister Keisha. Sister Keisha has a program, but it's on YouTube and on Facebook, and it's called Thorough Black Talk.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask her if they will do something once a month.
That's cool. That's doable. I can do that. Yeah, definitely I'm willing to talk. And, you know, about Mumia, I'm definitely open. You know, late nights is not the best, but it's, you know, I can make the sacrifice, you know, once or twice a month. I don't mind that,
yeah,
you know, as long as I have, you know, like, you know, you contacted me early today.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not an issue.
Okay, and her program comes on at 8 o'clock, so it's, you know, it's not
fine.
Late like mine. Yeah. No. Okay, so we'll be working on that. And lastly, since we have time, we need to kind of work on how we can get information distributed for the 4th of July weekend for the East, the African Street Festival. just in Brooklyn.
Right, right, yeah, and which I normally do go to, and I don't, matter of fact, Jericho, they usually have a table for political, they usually, you know, they have it, but people are just,
okay.
You know, yeah, they do have a table. She does Daquee and her partner, Sekou.
Okay.
They definitely do have a table.
Okay.
But, you know, trying to pitch, you know, to our people, you know, about the political prisoners. But, you know, but it's a hard sell. People really just walk by and don't really pay too much attention. But they're there. You know, some people do stop. So, yeah.
You're saying for us to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah, we have to be visible. And
exactly.
It's still, you know, we can't
right.
not be there because it is an important, like you said, place to lobby for your issue. I mean, the cops are there recruiting, so we should be there too.
Right.
Recruiting,
right,
you know.
Right. That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, we can ask people to come and help walk through the crowd and give out material, give out a flyer, give out something, a pamphlet, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do that. You know, there are unions there. Didn't one of the unions recently do something in support of Mumia?
I think in California
exactly.
though. In California, not here.
California, right in New York. I thought I saw something in New York.
There could have been, but I can't remember. There might have been. It might have been something. It might have been, but it's not in my memory. And also, there is going to be a UN hearing about the Africans. I guess how would you say the union is? The UN Commission on, I forget what
I
it
think
is.
I'll be attending the permanent forum. The permanent forum?
Right. They're going to be talking about political prisoners. They're going to be featuring, I believe it's Ed Pinckney, who just fortunately had his leg amputated. And he's elder. Mm-hmm. He's an elder. He's been in for 40 plus years. And Mumia, I don't think Leonard Peltier is in that, but Ed McGee, Rochelle McGee, I believe, and definitely Veronica Bowers, and I believe that hearing is going to be on the 26th, and it's going to be in Atlanta. It's going to be in Atlanta, and I believe it will be I think it will be on YouTube. They're going to have live testimony.
Okay. I didn't get that.
And
can you send
that
to me?
When I get the information, because I asked Julia, is it going to be, live? And I will email it to you. So you can get that, and then people, you know, who have the time could listen, because it's very important that the UN is coming in to town to take testimony about abuses, with Cop City and all of that going on. So
They sent us a group out, I think it was in 2015, and they went to five cities, and they got testimony. And that's when Muriel Fernan Menendez,
I think her name is.
Right. Mm-hmm. She wrote the report up that you know, talked about why we must get reparations. So they sent the team out, you know, a few years ago. But this is the kind of thing that we need to make sure that our people see that information is not being matriculated in our communities.
Yeah, this is very
our
important.
They're clueless. Totally clueless.
So, yeah, when I get the information, I'll definitely send it out to you because people need to be aware of it and know that this is happening. And it's shining a light on what's happening internally to our people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. All right, my sister, I was waiting for Brother Lee. He was supposed to be calling in. I'm not sure what happened, but I certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with you. I'm not going to hold you. I just wanted to make sure this is Mumia's Earth Day, and, you know, we wanted to make sure that we put our 2 cents in and, you know, send our best wishes to him spiritually, and, you know, our thoughts are definitely with him. And now we're going to step up and do some of this work. That's where we're at with it now.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it now, and then I'll let you go. It says registration details and further information on the United Nations IMLR delegation visit to Atlanta to hear the case of political prisoners. So
Yes.
Following press advisory you received on the UN April 26th visit Atlanta to hear cases of political prisoners at 1:50 Eastern Daylight and 2:50 Eastern Daylight. So I'll send that information to you, and
okay,
you can get it out
and
to your network.
What's the date on that again, Sister Gwen?
26th, which is today's the 24th, so that would be a Wednesday.
Right. Okay,
and
great.
And it's during the day, the testimony.
Okay, wonderful. And then we'll be able to provide a report on Saturday's program, so that's very good timing.
Yeah, and they just added Kamal Siddiqui as one of the other political prisoners they're going to, which makes sense because he's right there in Atlanta. Yeah. And he's not in the great health either. So yeah. All right. So yeah, I'll send this to you ASAP before the night is over.
Okay. Great. Appreciate that. And by the way, I don't know if you heard or you even know of him, but you know, again, our condolences out to both the biological and extended family of our great warrior, legal mind, Brother Alton Maddox made transition yesterday. And,
yes, I did hear about that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's a serious loss for us. Serious.
Because
he was one when he would bring busloads every time for Mumia. So, yes, indeed. Mm. So I guess we'll be hearing. Oh,
yeah.
Did I send you the services for Brother Kwame? I think it's this week.
Braathwaite.
Lambe Braathwaite, brother. Yeah, I think that's this week.
I believe it is. I know there's a cart on BAI playing about him. I think they're having it at Abyssinian.
Yes.
I don't know when.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll look out for it. But
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have that, let me know. I have it. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. So when you get a chance, do me a favor. Just send me your email so I can send this. I think
I have it,
but just double back.
Will do. All right, my sister, again, thank you so much for, you know, taking the time to share with us. And I'm looking forward to us, you know, really, again, connecting to our communities and getting some of this work done. I already know from experience, you know, what's going on in our communities, but I also know that we've got to push to make it happen because it is not going to just happen, you know, on its own. We've got to be more assertive in making it happen in our communities. And we can, and we now must. We can't let Mumia stay in there any longer. We've got to get him out. You know that. You've been saying it. Others know that. Others have been saying it. But we've now got to really take it to the next level. And so, again, we're going to start circulating information, you know, to some of these countries. Because, again, when Nelson Mandela was going through his initial crisis of incarceration and so forth, see, I remember I had a shop here in Philly, and we used to have our shop, the ANC people in Philly, we would offer our facility for them to have meetings. Mm-hmm. So black folks in our community here, we were very active in freeing Nelson Mandela,
mm-hmm.
in fighting apartheid. But we were very active, literally, in doing the work around that. So my point is, black folks have always helped any of our people and other people, by the way. And so we've now got to get that from other people, our people, because we've always given it to them.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm,
see?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want mm. we're the only ones that can really say that like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
We're the ones that can say that like that. So we've got to push those buttons now and at least get, if even if they just write a letter of endorsement or a statement or something, we need to get that going from groups and organizations. There's tons of Pan-Africanists, of other groups that are fighting, different kinds of exploitation in their country, but they sympathize and also speak out against other injustices. We've got to get those kind of responses from them.
Right.
That's on us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. on us. If France can do it, if Italy can do it, if Germany can do it, then some of our countries can say and do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I definitely want to hear that program Saturday night. This is AfriCon. I want to know about that.
Yeah.
I want to be. Okay.
Yes.
So
I will definitely send you the announcement. Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
All right. Well, All right. Thank you again. And
we will definitely
stay in touch. All right. Peace to you.
Free Mumi and all political prisoners.
Yes. Ashe. All right, family. Listen, we are moving right along. Again, this was a brief kind of edition of our radio program, a special edition, and we didn't want to run it over very long. But again, we want to make sure that we put on record that we are gearing up to really fight to a greater extent to bring Mumia home. And we're talking about black folks. We're talking about from our perspective, from our kind of interactions with one another. We are going to be at Juneteenth, different kinds of events coming up all over the country. What a wonderful time to get information circulated. But we're the ones that have to put that information in their midst. It's not going to happen from all of osmosis or some other stuff. So that's the plan. And we'll be talking more about this on Saturday when Brother Roz is joining us. So stay tuned. That program, of course, is 10:30 p.m. You'll be able to hear it if you are not up at that time or whatever. You'll still be able to hear it. Once it's aired live, it'll go to the archives, and you'll be able to hear it anytime. So please feel free to pass it on once you do get it. It's going to be pretty interesting because Roz is going to drop some stuff that folks probably have not heard and don't know. And we just need to make sure now that everything possible for Mumia is happening. This is not to bash anybody or unnecessarily or, you know, whatever, but we got to make sure that we do our part to make certain that everything that needs to happen for him is happening. That's just the bottom line now. There got to be some checks and balances. So with that said, tune in on Saturday. It's going to be a little explosive, and that puts it mildly, because if you know anything about Razakhan, he is not one to kind of dress up his words, okay? So you can best believe it's going to be real interesting. Anyway, family, we're going to close out now. And, again, we thank you for tuning in. If you want your name placed on the card that we are sending to Mumia, please feel free to email me at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can text me at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267 636-3802. All right, family, listen, we are out. We will be black on Saturday. 10:30 p.m. We'll be sending out e-blasts and other kinds of alerts for you to please share. Again, we'll be talking more about Mumia Abu-Jamal, what black folks need to do. We'll also give you information about our writing correspondence course that we are hoping that Mumia will be able to, facilitate, and also some of the other proactive things that we have began to put in place as part of the We Charge Genocide 21. You know, we're gearing up for Queen Mother Moore weekend. So, hey, it's going down, y'all. Trust me. Anyway, talk to you on Saturday. And as Fela Kuti's son, Seon, says, it's black times. It's time for us.
Where the black dream, sister, where the black information, the so-called black education. The black journey is a mystery, with the black fashion of history, the black story for the children, the black food for the youth, the black strength of the mothers, the black pride of the fathers. We must pass the black knowledge to the fields of black god and goddess. Let the black light shine on the path, let the guide the food, let the black light shine on society and expose the truth. Let the black light shine, make the exposure of the evil hiding in the darkness. Let the black light shine into our hearts and into our soul.
Let the black light shine
on the path, let the guide the food, yeah.
Let the black light shine,
expose society and expose the truth, yeah.
Let the black light shine.
Make the souls of the evil hiding in the darkness.
Make the
yeah. Into our hearts, into our souls. Say we listen. Ooh, we listen.